In the holy name of Jesus, amen. There hardly needs to be a sermon after all that. It was the sermon. It is what the Holy Spirit is about. This is Holy Spirit Day, Pentecost, one of the three major Old Testament feasts celebrated 50 days after Passover, commemorating the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. Plenty of fireworks, you remember, at that event. Repeated in an even greater measure 50 days after Passover, with the Lord's resurrection and ascension in the rearview mirror for his disciples. You remember, you heard it, they were hanging out in an upper room when suddenly, no warning, the Holy Spirit comes upon them with a loud sound, flames, and languages. Get this, languages they had never studied or spoken before. Wow, what a miracle! Don't stop there. It gets even better. Out trots Peter from that upper room, out into the crowd that yelled, "Crucify!" And he calls them to account for it. No naivete on his part, mind you. Peter knows, well knows, what this mob is capable of, and he knows how hard it is for people to hear and believe the truth. The miracles of Pentecost just keep happening. The apostles were changed, emboldened by the Holy Spirit for just this purpose. Peter was inspired by the Holy Spirit to preach the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it was no holds barred. But the miracles of Pentecost are only beginning. Another one is this. Some believed. They heard the mighty works of God in their native tongues. They heard God speaking to them through these everyday guys. And the same Spirit that had landed on the apostles, the same Spirit always present in the preaching of God's Word, came through that preaching and landed upon the hearts of people within earshot. Later on in this chapter of Acts, we learn that thousands that day were cut to the heart in Peter's preaching. But in the midst of all those Pentecost miracles, there is still hatred and malice. Some, you heard it, some hear those languages and mock the Lord, his disciples, in willful and deliberate ignorance, saying, "These guys are drunk. These guys are drunk." Not everyone believed. The preaching of the gospel almost always sounds like drunken speech to those who will not repent. God's mercy, his love for broken, runaway sinners sounds ridiculous. It sounds impossible, too good to be true. Sort of like commencement speech, as you've heard, where the speaker kind of drones on and on about how this graduating class is going to cure cancer and solve all the world's problems. Too good to be true, in fact, not true at all. But no one seems overly bothered by those speeches. I don't think anybody ever believes them. People just kind of play along. No one, though, accuses the commencement speaker of being drunk. The problem with the gospel, with the shocking news that Almighty God loves and forgives us in Jesus, despite our hatred and rebellion against him. The problem with the gospel is not that it's radical, hard to believe. It's that those who preach it believe it. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles on Pentecost and Christians ever since have been proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ with actual conviction. And that conviction makes unbelievers uneasy. And They should be uneasy. We should be uneasy. You see, that good news of God's love for us in Jesus is based upon our desperate need for that love. You have a desperate need for just that. Forgiveness of sins is only good news for sinners. It's only good news if you need it. And we need it. We have acted and said and thought evil and selfish things. We have lied. We have gossiped. We have cheated. And we've stolen. We have coveted. Thankless for all the gifts we've been given. We have lusted. And we have been arrogantly proud. We have at least some sense of what is good, of what we should be. But we don't live up to our own standards, let alone God's holy commandments. We do not have the right to mercy. We do not deserve to be spared punishment. And if we were left on our own, we would be damned. What shall we do? Ask the people later on in this Acts 2 chapter. What shall we do? They ask when Peter finally took a breath and paused long enough for this winded, spirit-driven word to sink in all the way down to broken and convicted hearts. What shall we do? Good question. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, was his answer. Already baptized? Praise and thanks be to God for that. Now repent and return to your baptism. Turn from your sin. About face from your pride, your arrogance, your heart. I'm always right, heart. Remember the name put upon you in your baptism. And in a little while, on bended knee, look up again this morning and see the Father's open arm welcome to prodigal sons and prodigal daughters who will be his guests, fed with the richest of fare, his son's very body and blood given for you and shed for you. This is not an invitation of a drunk man or of someone spouting pie in the sky platitudes at a commencement ceremony. This is the living word of the living Lord Jesus. That word preached into your ears and into your hearts again this day, this Pentecost day. It is Holy Spirit Day. He is out and about again today, doing what he always does, in and with and under the Word. The Spirit is calling, gathering, enlightening, sanctifying the whole Christian church on earth. Keeping it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Forgiving sins. And raising the dead. You should know. You were once dead in your trespasses and sins. But you have been buried with Christ by baptism into death. That in order Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. You too may walk in newness of life. Well, I tell you, that's a miracle. And one more thing, with the Holy Spirit, The miracles never cease. Stay tuned. In the name of Jesus. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.